Welcome to Disclaimers Aside, a podcast where I share the raw and honest stories of people in my community, Disclaimers Aside. I'm your host, Aisida Amadou, and let's dive into the episode. Hi everyone, welcome back to another podcast episode. Happy Saturday. I'm actually recording this podcast intro the day before this episode goes live, and Beyoncé's new album came out today. How do we feel about it? I feel like I've never been much of a huge Beyoncé stan in general. Like, I understand why people enjoy her music, but I've just never been the biggest fan. I've always liked Rihanna over Beyoncé. Not that those have to be two mutually exclusive things. So she released her new album today. It's called Renaissance, which, first of all, love the name of that. I love the entire Renaissance aesthetic. I also really love the album cover, but I'm not a fan of this album. Now, I probably set myself up for failure given the fact that I'm not a Beyoncé stan, but I wanted to give this album a chance because I always want to love Beyoncé's music. I think she's a talented singer. She has a beautiful voice. I just never vibe with her music, like her songs or anything like that. She has some really cool titles. I am almost all the way through listening to the album. I'm currently on Summer Renaissance, and so far I've added two songs off of her playlist onto mine. I obviously had to add Virgo's Groove just because I am a Virgo and Virgo season is right around the corner. And then I also added America Has a Problem because that one had a good beat to it. Let me know what you guys think. I'll probably make this a poll this week over on the podcast Instagram. Another thing I wanted to chat about real quickly today is The Wilds. The Wilds season 2 specifically. This wasn't my first time watching The Wilds season 2. I watched The Wilds season 2 actually a couple months ago when it first came out. But I rewatched season 2 because my sister had only watched season 1. And I'm a really big fan of the show The Wilds. If you guys don't know what The Wilds is, it's this show on Amazon Prime Video. And essentially it's about a group of kids who think they're going on a resort, like their parents sent them on a resort, but really it ends up being that they crash land onto this island and it's a social experiment. All of the different girls in the first season that are on this island come from very different backgrounds, and so their different backgrounds kind of push them in a direction that makes them clash. They have no idea that they're being studied for research purposes in terms of like what causes conflict in society and whatnot. It's really interesting. Each episode goes into the different like backstories of each girl, and it's a really cool show. I think it has some of the best character development out there. The newest season is also really, really phenomenal. Watched it with my sister. I can't really say much about what the second season is about because it literally would spoil the end of the first season, but this is a healthy reminder that if you haven't seen The Wilds, go give it a watch. I'm really glad that it made it to that second season because a lot of the times shows, whether or not shows get a second season or even continue being a thing, is based on the views. But this show actually did pretty well, surprisingly, for a Prime Video show, because I feel like not a lot of people go to Prime Video for entertainment. Like, it's not really as big as Netflix or Hulu or HBO. Anyways, let's talk about today's episode. Today is the second part to last week's episode, so if you haven't seen last week's episode, give it a listen. I have my youngest sister, Hadima, who is a guest on my podcast this week. Very exciting. We're going to continue going through some of the interview questions that I wrote personally, and then we're going to dive into the questions that you guys specifically submitted. So with that, let's just dive back into the conversation. This summer you decided to change instruments. Can you talk about why?
Oh boy. Well, actually, it's not that long of a story. At my school, for marching band, we have a pre-summer band camp, which is usually the first week of summer, but it got pushed back because we got a new band teacher. So it's like the second week of summer. The second week of summer, I was gone. I was in Turkey. Yeah, I think we were in Turkey by band camp. But I was talking to my friend. So last year, I played clarinet in marching band. Obviously, I was friends with everyone in my section, because why wouldn't I be? But I was mainly friends with the sophomores in my section, and besides me, there were like four other sophomores, so there were like five of us in total. And we, like, made up the majority of our section because there were only, like, 8 or 9 clarinets. So, like, it was sophomore majority. But going to this year, one of my friends became drum major. My other friend also auditioned to become drum major but didn't get the position, so he swapped to saxophone. My other friend abandoned the section to go play mellophone. Okay. So, and I was off in Turkey. So my one other sophomore clarinet friend was, like, there at band camp. And I was like, yo, how did band camp go? And they were like, man, all of the sophomore clarinets are gone. There's literally nothing left. And I was like, man, that sucks. And they were like...
They all left?
Yeah, they all swapped. Except for this one clarinet was my friend. And, like, we were buddies. Like, on the... When we'd go to, like, competitions... We would sit together on the bus. We were clarinet buddies. You know, on the way back, we'd be either sitting next to each other or just, like, near each other. Because we were, like, on the band bus going back, you could sit with your friends. But on the bus going there, you had to sit with your section. So on the bus going back, there were 3 of us who liked to sit together. So, like, one of us was just kind of hopping in between. I was not the hopper in between. So I was not sitting next to them, necessarily. But they were always nearby. But they were like, bro, you're my homie. I don't want to abandon you. What if we swapped instruments? And I was like, yes, I will follow you to the ends of the earth. And they were like, you know what? Brass instrument sounds pretty cool. And I was like, what? Because I hate brass. But like baritone, though, that's a cool instrument. And they were like, okay, I'm going to go swap to baritone. And I was like, yes, I will join you. But are there any tuba players? Because in a marching band, you're probably supposed to have, like, bare minimum 4 tubas. But last year we had, like, 2. And 100% of the tubas we've ever had have been, like, forced to swap. Last year we had a senior who used to play oboe in the band. And then my band teacher was like, actually, no, you play tuba now. And so he was forced to play tuba. And then there is also a junior who is now a senior. And he was also... forced to play tuba. He played saxophone before. Honestly, he's the guy who plays all the instruments, who's like going on tour and stuff. Yeah, him. Okay, but I was like talking to my friend and I was like, Al, do we have tuba players? Has anyone volunteered to play tuba? Because the last tuba graduated, so now we only have 1. It's not acceptable. And my friend was like, we're trying to bully some of the sophomores into doing it. And I was like, okay, if you don't get anyone to do it, I'll swap. I came back to America, so this was like 3 weeks after, and we had a band rehearsal, and I walked in, and I was like, did we get anyone? And we didn't. There were no other tubas. So I volunteered to swap to tuba.
You volunteered as tribute?
Yeah, basically. I'm literally a martyr. This is the worst instrument. No one wants to play it. Like, it's
huge. Terrible. Our whole family was shocked. She comes home with this huge instrument. Like, I don't even know how to describe the size of it. It's like the size of a baby whale.
In my defense, that's not the actual instrument that I'm marching with. I'm marching with a different instrument that looks completely different.
I was so confused. I was like, how
is
she...
It's so big, though.
I was like, how is she supposed to march with this?
Basically, I'm gonna be marching... I'm not actually marching around with an actual tuba, because if you've seen those things, they're large. I'm marching around with a sousaphone. If you don't know what a sousaphone is...
Please tell me it's smaller.
No, but yes. A sousaphone is basically a tuba that's modified so that it goes around your torso. So it's like the tuba's like resting on your shoulder, and it weighs a lot. So what it looks like. So it goes around you, and then you have the bell over your head. So you can actually walk around with it, and it's like around your torso, and it's like supported. It still hurts, let me tell you. I came to practice with a sore shoulder because I've been at the gym, and I could barely stand with a sousaphone for like an hour. It was awful.
Is there any way to switch out of that instrument?
Probably not at this point, no. So yeah, I'm like a tuba player. I mean, the good thing about this is that all year, last year, I was like, man, because I saw the tuba problem coming, because, like, I knew that one of the tubas was gonna leave, and I was like, what are we gonna do about the tuba? So I have this friend. She's in the clarinet section, and she's a freshman, and she was in my band class, so I was like, hey, yo, what if you swapped a tuba? All year, all of second semester, I mean, I was like, you should swap to tuba. And she didn't swap to tuba at band camp. I was like, Kate, we had this conversation. You were supposed to swap. But when Kate saw me swapping, I was like, Kate, what if you swapped with me? And then she said yes. I was not expecting it. She was like, yeah, I'll do
it. So now you have four tuba players.
No, we have three.
I thought you said there was one tuba player.
Yeah. And
you.
And now I'm here.
And then Kate and Al.
No, Al. Al's playing baritone. I left Al. I'm sorry, Al.
Oh. Is baritone smaller?
Oh, baritone's a completely different instrument. You can think of it as like you can think of it as like trombone, but made for marching, basically.
I see.
It's kind of like a trumpet.
That looks like a bigger trumpet.
Yeah. It's like a bigger trumpet, but like it's effectively more like a trombone that looks like a trumpet. But I could have picked without feeling obligated to swap to tuba. I would have definitely played baritone. Because I always thought that was, like, the coolest brass instrument. But, like, tuba's fine, I guess. I'm gonna suffer, but it's fine.
That's really cool.
It's character development. It was really funny because my band teacher was like, why are you playing tuba? Like, why are you swapping to tuba? Like, what are you doing here?
That's very, like, yeah, clarinet to tuba, that's...
And I was like,
drastic.
You know, well, I mean, last year's senior section leader... Technically speaking, he swapped from clarinet to tuba, so it's, like, the same thing, except now I'm the latest victim. But she's like, why are you here? Like, why are you swapping to tuba? No one likes tuba. And I was like, yeah, you know, I felt really bad for Vinny, you know, all alone playing tuba, especially since I, like, vaguely know him. Like, we're vaguely friends. So I was like, yeah, I'm here because Vinny was gonna be all alone. She was like, okay.
What advice do you have for someone who wants to join marching band?
I mean, I feel like that kind of depends because, like, my school's marching band doesn't necessarily look like your school's marching band. But I gotta say, in my school, bro, it's rough. Like,
is it a lot harder than just, like, regular band?
I just mean, like, commitment-wise, it's rough. Yeah, I guess you could say it's a lot harder than regular band. It was definitely a lot, so I am kind of glad that it's only, like, first semester, it's not, like, year-round, because if it was year-round, bro...
It's a lot of hours.
Yeah, it is a lot of hours. You have to be prepared to just sacrifice your life for marching band. It's, like, it's terrible. I mean, it was a lot worse last year, just because I had a really high workload, I would say. Yeah, I definitely, like, if you haven't done anything musically, I would not do marching band at all. I would definitely not recommend that to someone who just, like... But I would definitely say if you are a musician and you're going into high school and your school has a marching band, you should try it out. Because it's a lot more fun, I will say. It's a lot more engaging than doing regular band. Like, I would definitely... It's an experience. You gotta try it out at least once. It's a lot of fun. Because, yeah, like, going back to regular band, I was like, this does not hit the same. This is not the same thing. Marching band just has a lot to it. I would definitely recommend it, but, like, I would say know what you're getting into. Know what kind of commitments you're signing up for. It's rough if you're not prepared for it.
What is your biggest goal right now?
To survive the school year next year.
I feel like once you get through junior year... Actually, I think junior year was my easiest year. But once you get through junior... Yeah, okay, because when I was in junior year, originally I had signed up for 4 AP classes. Mm-hmm. And then the beginning of the year, I dropped AP Bio, which was, like, the biggest workload on my schedule. So then I was just taking 3 AP classes, and I was doing yearbook, and I had a free period. So I was cruising. Because generally, like... I was only taking A Push, AP Lang, and what was the third one?
Math?
No, what was the third one?
Spanish.
Oh, AP Spanish 4. So it was really easy. I'm naturally pretty good at English and history, so those two classes came easy. And then AP Spanish had basically no homework. So my homework load was really nice. Like, that year, I was cruising. Weirdly enough, senior year, I took 4 AP classes, so it was more of a workload my senior year, and I was also doing zero period for the first time. But that's why I say junior year was my easiest. Bro. I don't necessarily think that'll be the case for you,
yeah,
but...
no, I'm gonna say no.
Once you get through, like, junior year, senior year is really fun, and I feel like the nicest.
Certain classes I'm looking at senior year, and I'm like, do I have to do that? But, like, I definitely say sophomore year is, like, definitely probably gonna be the worst. Like, it's just going to be terrible.
Yeah, it's a lot. I think because other schools that have less AP classes, junior year is the hardest because that's when you start to take a lot of your AP and honors. But at our high school, they have AP Chem and AP Euro that you can take your sophomore year, which I feel like arguably are the two hardest AP classes, and then they just decide like it's a good idea to throw those in your sophomore year.
Also, just like I hated some of my classes, just like straight up, like unironically, just like not even like being like, oh, this class is just like hard. It's just like I hate this class. Like Honors English 2 was the worst class. Literally, I hated that class so much. Like, I, like, in terms of, like, pure hate, I honestly, at times, almost hated that class more than I hated chem. It was awful, and for no reason. Freshman year's English, and honors English 1, like, I get that I was online, so, like, it wasn't as hard, but, like, that class, like, I didn't even pay attention, and I still got an A. And then this year, I literally got a B for a semester. This is the first time I've gotten a B in an English class. I'm so mad about that. I will never get over that. The class was terrible. Like, I literally, my test scores were like 100% on the first test, 95, 97. And I still got a B in the class because they hit me with all of these stupid vocab quizzes that were awful, by the way.
Oh, I hated those, yeah.
After those vocab quizzes, you can't even see which mistakes you got. And they gave me like these lit terms that were awful because like they give me a sentence and then expect me to pick out the lit terms out of like this huge arbitrary list of just like literary terms, and like I literally had the definitions for them all, like all 70 lit terms memorized all year, but like I could not pick out which lit term it was supposed to be, and it was just awful. Like I did so bad all year on them. I literally get like 60s and 70s all year, and they're like brought down my grade down so much. And then we'd have these quizzes, these book quizzes, okay? And they were so bad because, like, my teacher, honestly, she's not grading for, like, she's not grading for, oh, did you read the chapters? Like, did you show literary analysis? Like, did you show that you're thinking? She's grading for what she thinks is the correct answer, which is not how you should be grading in an English class. Like, I think that's pretty obvious. Like, if I was a teacher, I'd be like, okay, clearly they read the chapter from the response. The response shows that they're thinking intuitively. Like, I'll give them the points. Not just like, oh, no, actually the correct answer is that Holden has PTSD. How dare you not know that? I'm giving you an F.
I've actually heard that same complaint about that specific teacher from, like, multiple other people.
She's awful.
And I didn't realize it until, like, after high school because a lot of the times, like, I would just kind of, like, try and, like, mirror my thinking to match whatever her thinking was about the books that we were reading. But there were a few times where I was like, no, I actually think this about the book, and I would get marked off, even though I feel like those are still valid ideas. And actually, having gone to college, I feel like English classes in college are not like that. Your answer is correct if you can, like, back it up with like evidence. On evidence and your if and it logic, really matters the quality of your argument rather than whether your argument necessarily is correct or not, because with literary analysis I don't think there is any correct answer. It's just what are you using from the text to back you up.
Yeah, no, she was just terrible. She was not it. And I don't know if it was necessarily just her. Just, like, in general, everyone just, like, was not having it in English this year. It was so bad.
Yeah, then I would definitely recommend you don't take AP Lit. Because I feel like AP Lit is just Honors English 2 on steroids.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to Lit. I don't know if I'm gonna even take Lit. I might just take it because I mean, senior year's grades don't matter too much outside of first semester. Just like,
they really don't. Okay, so now let's move on to the questions that the audience submitted over on Instagram. If you guys don't follow the podcast Instagram, it's at Disclaimers Aside. Definitely go follow that. First one is, you guys don't have a brother. If not, did you ever want one? Side note, you're all beautiful. We have a little brother. Yeah, we never talk about him.
He's kind of a gremlin, but I think he's great.
So basically, we have our first cousin, who we consider our honorary little brother. Right now, he's 6. He was born when I was in 8th grade, and I remember the day, I remember exactly where I was when I found out he was born. Rocky and I were in debate club after school, and then we get a call from my mom, and my mom was like, he was born. But yeah, we consider him our little brother, and
we see him like, it's not like he's our first cousin, and he like lives in like Kentucky, and we only see him every couple of years. He like lives like an hour away from us. We visit them.
When we were younger and he was a baby, we used to, like, go in the summers or, like, on breaks to their house and stay with them for, like, a week and, like, help take care of him.
We go pretty, like, often in terms of just, like, seeing cousins. Like, he was definitely the cousin that we visit the most just because he's the only cousin who lives in the state, really.
Exactly. And he doesn't really know like the word for older for a cousin, so he calls us his sisters.
Yeah. He started it. He just like when he was really little, he would just call us his sisters and his parents just like went along with it. He's 6 years old and he really doesn't know. Like the other day we were like, "Hey, do you know what cousin means?" And he was like, "Yeah," but like he didn't know. And
he's so smart though. That's the thing. Like, he's a really smart kid. But we love him. And yeah, he's our honorary little brother. I definitely wish, like, growing up, we were always like, "Mom, Dad, like, can we have another, like, a fourth sibling? Like, a little brother?" But it never happened. So it's just three of us.
I wanted a little sister, bro.
I wanted a little brother. But I don't know. For the longest time ever, I was mad because I felt like three kids is just such a weird number. It's like so uneven. But at this point in our lives, like, we're getting older to the point where I'm like, I can't even imagine having like a fourth, like that another younger gross. Sibling. Like, they're cute, little kids are cute and all, but then at a certain point when they start to get annoying, it's like, okay.
Yeah, I'm not putting up with a child when I'm like 20.
Exactly. Okay, my friend Sophia asked, who out of Isida's friends is your favorite?
I guess I'm gonna have to say Sophia because she's the person I see / hear about the most.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I don't really interact with your other friends. Like, Sophia's the only one that I really hear about, necessarily.
Satara said she saw you at graduation, but you didn't say hi.
Okay, I didn't know what Satara looked like.
Really?
And I did say hi when she waved to me. She was like, "Oh, I'm Isida's friend." I was like, "Oh, hi." I was also in a rush, too, because, like, I had to go find Mom and Dad, and I was in this huge crowd, and I was like, dude, I didn't even know where they are. But I did wave.
Out of my friends, you've met Sophia. Have you met Samia?
Yes,
I have. Yeah, we went to the same mosque. We went to the same mosque. Yeah. You've met Satara.
Yes.
You've also met my friend Gori.
Yeah.
So Sophia's your favorite.
I mean, yeah.
Okay. Someone asked, what three words would you use to describe your relationship? Words are hard, so I'm just gonna, like, kind of describe
irritating.
Our relationship. Oh my god, Honeymoon. What are the three words then, huh?
Finish them. Irritating, annoying, and obnoxious.
Okay. I'm the obnoxious older sister, I guess. Honeymoon and I don't think we talked about this. We're 5 years apart. Or actually, not 5 years. We're four and a half.
Let's just go with five.
Because I'm born in September, and she's born in February, so we usually say five. But yeah, there's quite a bigger age gap than, say, Raki and I. So I feel like when you're younger, Raki and I would fight more often. And then Harim and I wouldn't really fight that much. I'm not someone who gets angry, but...
Oh, really? That's not what you said when you was 11.
Yeah, I don't know. Harim and I didn't fight too much growing up.
That's because I don't pick fights. I'm a victim.
Thoughts about your perception of your place in your family. Like, me being the oldest and you being the youngest.
It's really not that deep. I don't know, like, people act like it's such a big deal. It's really not.
I don't know. I feel like the younger you are in your family, the more privilege you get. Because naturally, when people have kids, as each kid goes on, they get less and less strict with their kids. And I also think being the oldest child, especially the oldest child of immigrants, you a lot of the times are kind of like the trial run. And so, like, a lot of the things that I didn't know about, like, the system and everything, or that my parents didn't know about the system, like, I kind of had to figure out. And then Raki and Hanima had it a little bit easier because, like, they had examples from my experiences.
I guess.
Yeah.
Like, it's really not that
easy. It's really easy for you to say that, Hanima.
Like, I mean, I still have to put up with a lot of stuff.
100%.
In, like, completely different departments.
I agree. Then someone else asked, would you want to switch, like, for example, like, it become the middle or the oldest, or no. Me become younger. I think at a certain point, maybe I would have liked that. Like, maybe I would have liked to have an older sibling just so I didn't have to be the trial run. But at this point in my life, I've accepted that I'm the oldest daughter, and
it's really
I'm happy.
Not that deep.
Yeah, I'm happy with my place in the family. Head of the house, right? Just kidding. No. Someone asked, how was AP Chem? I didn't even attempt that class, so Honeymoon can speak on that.
That class was rough, man. I mean, I knew it was gonna be rough. When on the first test, I got like a 50. It's like my average. Actually, no. It was a 55. I would definitely say build character. Mm-hmm. I definitely had to learn how to balance my schedule a lot better because, you know, I went to bed at 2 a.m.
She would not
and
sleep.
I would wake up at like 5:45. So regardless to say, I did not sleep all of sophomore year. It definitely got a lot better second semester because I had a free period. And then I also just got a lot better at managing my time better and just like maximizing the grind. Also, just like, I formed a pretty good support system with my bestie because we shared like all the same classes, which I mean, not everyone I know, but like a majority of my friend group just like has the same classes where they're like, that they're taking, like they're taking all honors, they're taking a varying amount of APs and stuff. But yeah, this specific friend of mine, we were in nearly every class together. I think the only classes we didn't have was like, I had band, well, he had orchestra, and then he had PUI in my free period. But, like, we were in all of our, like, academic classes together. So I'd be like, all right, you do the chem homework, I'll do the math homework, I'll show you the math. And it just really helped, especially since, like, math this year, pre-calculus. That class was just kind of a waste of time, I'm not gonna lie. Oh. Like, it was, no, by waste of time.
Not you calling it a waste of time.
By waste of time, what I mean is that they would give us so much homework, and it would just all be useless. Like, they give us the same structured problems, okay. And, like, they give us excessive amounts. So, like, we were copying parts of a lot of it from the back of the textbook. We do a couple problems, be like, okay, we got this. And just, like, it was just not it. So, like, chem really taught me to just, like, balance my time. It really did feel like no matter how hard I studied, I still got a 70% on the test. But, you know, I learned to accept that. I learned to accept that I was never going to get an A in the class. Though I, like, was kind of close to it at some point during second semester. But then I was like, actually, no. Because then she grades her labs so harshly, by the way. My teacher, bro, she's rough. She's kind of awful, I'm not going to lie. It made the AP exam look like a joke, though. Honestly, I think part of the reason why the AP exam was a joke this year was just because they made the AP exam easier. I don't necessarily think it's because my teacher teaches so harshly, but yeah, needless to say, the final for that class was way harder than the AP exam. Like, it was really embarrassing. Like, I walked into the final, and my friend was like, no, but you shouldn't be scared because we already did the AP exam. The AP exam was, like, fine. And I was like, are you crazy? You think that she's not gonna make the final harder than the AP exam? Do you even know this woman? Like, we've had her all year. Like, her tests were ridiculous.
Wait, so you took the final after the AP exam?
Yeah, we took the final after the AP exam this year because we didn't have time to take the final before the AP exam. And needless to say, the final was way harder than the AP exam, which, I mean, part of that's because the AP exam was easy. But also, like, the final was no joke. We did really bad on the final. She had to curve it by, like, adding, like, 20 points to her score or something. And I was like, no, you're kidding, right? And, like, it wasn't even like, oh, I did bad. It was like everyone did really bad.
I feel like when everyone does bad in a class, that's a reflection of the teachers, like, the way the teacher is teaching. They need to restructure their class or their teaching methods.
I would definitely say, though, like, she was a good teacher. She was rough. She was awful to me. Whatever.
I didn't like her.
On the exam. She did her job.
I had her for a semester in high school and I really didn't like her. I actually ended up switching. I didn't take AP. I took Honors Chem and I switched from her class to a different chemistry teacher's class. And the first semester I got a B in her class. And then the second semester I got an A, like a way higher like grade in the other teacher's class. And mind you, second semester of honors chem is a little bit easier, I will give you that, but also just the way that she would teach chemistry concepts were more convoluted than the other teacher. That's what I found, at least. So chemistry is not my forte. I'm really not a STEM girly, but I don't know, I feel like that specific teacher just made me hate STEM.
If I had to talk about the class itself, it's just like you sit down every day and you do not even try to fall asleep in this class. Which is kind of sad because, like, all the AP students are the ones who are sleep-deprived and actually need to sleep and low-key are falling asleep in class, but, like, you got no choice. Okay, you're sitting here, and for the full 2 hours of class, homegirl has her slideshows on, she's info-dumping, you're scribbling with your pen, Apple Pencil, okay? You're not even getting everything written down because it's going that fast, which is why I would have a copy of the slides on my iPad, so I would be writing while having the slides next to me so I could see everything because she was going so fast. We'd be doing these examples. I never got the examples. Get over it, whatever. It's just like all the way up until the test, we're just learning so much. You learn so much in a day, and I would just retain so little. Like, I would be going back, like, right before the test, and I'd be like, oh my god, I've missed so much. That is actually wild. She gave us good information, just like, there was not enough time to let that sink in. And, like, it wasn't even, like, oh, she's going too fast. Because, like, if she wasn't going that fast, we would not have, like, made it in time for the AP exam. Like, she was very strict about that. She was like, guys, I made a couple of delays on tests at the beginning of the year. And due to that, if we don't keep going, we are not making it in time for that AP exam, y'alls. And we were like, okay. Yeah, the class itself is just rough content-wise. Her tests were brutal. Her labs were brutal. I honestly could not tell you what wasn't brutal about that class. It was brutal all around. It was nice second semester because she had us do, like, these practice tests for the AP exam that, like, brought our grades up a lot. Like, my grade went up, like at least, like, 3-4%. It was really nice. But, yeah. I would definitely say that in terms of, like, preparing us for the AP exam, she did a good job. She legally required us, forced us to do these practice tests every week. And so the first practice test was Unit 1. The first practice test was Unit 2. And instead of, you could slack off like me and not do the units until right before the AP exam. Or you could take the opportunity and be like, all right, if I do one unit every week, then I will be good in time for the AP exam. And you could use that as a guideline to study
each week
if you wanted to. And unlike, because I also took AP Euro, and my Euro teacher did not force us to study, so let it be known that no, I did not study until a solid 3 days before my AP exam. That's when I...
You didn't study for Euro until 3 days before?
No, wow. I didn't. I literally couldn't. I mean, you could say that I had to study for the final of the class, but I don't consider that studying for the AP exam, because for the final of the class, she gave us a list of 10 LEQs from, like, various time periods throughout, like, Euro, and was like, your LEQ is gonna be on one of these, okay? You're gonna have to pick between... You have two options, pick between two of them. Okay, here you go. Which was nice, because, like, first, that forced us to actually study time periods, but also, it just forced us to study that specific event. So, it wasn't as good as, like, my teacher, every week by week, forcing us to study for her AP exam. Which I guess I'd say is a good thing, because, like, for me, Chem was definitely, like, the Chem AP exam was definitely my priority. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna survive this AP exam. Euro can wait! Especially since the chem exam was before the Euro exam. But, like, my Euro teacher did not force us to study for the exam. Lo and behold, we did not study for the exam until it was right upon us. Except for, like, a couple people. Like, I know one of my friends was, like, studiously on that grind. And I was like, yes, get it, queen, slay.
That's really funny, because that reminds me of when I was in AP Lang, leading up to the exam, the way that she has you study, because you can't really study for the multiple choice portion, but you can practice the essays. So she would assign us, like, I think an essay a week, or an essay for every block day, something like that.
There were,
like, 12 essays that we had to write. I just wouldn't write them. A lot of people would. We wouldn't write them because she just, like, she wasn't collecting them.
Oh, so she wasn't collecting them?
They're like, okay, like, she's not collecting them.
And then at the end, she was,
like, and then at the end, she's like, hey, guys, so I'm actually going to collect these essays in a week. Make sure you have them done and ready to go. So literally, in one day, I wrote 6 essays. Like, I was, like, writing all these essays to prepare for the exam.
Like, the most my Euro teacher did to, like, be like, hey, you guys are stupid, you need to go study, like, you don't know anything, was she gave us, like, these multiple choice questions. Mm. But she gave us, like every couple block days, she'd, like, toss them at us, and it would be, like, maybe 9 questions, with, like, 3 being from, like, each time period. But I was like, yeah, I'm not studying for this, and she didn't make me study, and I didn't study, so... I definitely appreciate that my chem teacher literally forced me every weekend to sit down and do something that was working toward that goal of getting ready. It was an awful class.
A little bit of a lighter question. What are your thoughts on the newest season of Stranger Things? You haven't seen...
Yeah, I've...
So, Harima watched season 1, but you didn't continue after season 1,
no,
right?
No, okay. Not at all.
I watched the newest season. I really... liked the newest season. I'm trying to think. I think I liked it more than I liked No, I actually like the last season a little bit better. I like the vibes of season 3 over season 4. I don't know when this show is going to end. Because we're on the fourth season.
Yeah, right? I didn't even think there was going to necessarily even be a second season. I was very surprised when season 2 happened.
I think after season 2, like, a season 3 was definitely warranted. But I felt like the way that season 3 ended, it ended on, like, the way it ended, it seemed like that was the ending. They all went their separate ways. Elle and Will ended up moving to California. Like, the way that they set it up, they made it seem like that was the end of the show. And then, lo and behold, they introduce season 4. But the way season 4 ended, there's definitely going to be more seasons. I predict that Stranger Things has until about 6 seasons before it starts to get bad. Maybe they'll prove me wrong. I don't know. But I did like this latest season. I really like seeing, like, them get a little bit older, because I think they're either in their first or second year of high school at this point. So it's really nice, like, seeing them go from, like, being, like, I don't know, in middle school all the way through high school and things like that. Stranger Things is always just, like, a fun show to watch, I feel like. So I really enjoyed it. I actually watched it. I downloaded the episodes, and I was watching it, the episodes in Mauritania. I would rate it a solid 4.5 out of 5 stars. These next two questions are similar, so we can kind of answer. Oh my god, another person said, describe your relationship in 3 words. We're not going to do that. Were you close growing up?
I would say yeah.
I feel like all 3 of us were very close growing up, just because we're very close in age. For the most part.
Yeah, we'd, like, go outside and play together.
Yeah, we were definitely pretty close growing up. Again, Rucky and I would fight more. Also, Rucky and I would just do stuff sometimes without you. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you guys would leave me out because you were like, oh my god, you're such a baby.
Because I remember, okay, there was a period of time when we lived in San Diego where Honeymoon was scared of...
that actually was a baby.
Where Honeymoon was scared of snails. I don't know why.
No, that was when I was scared of snails when we moved here, too.
Yeah.
I was scared of snails in first grade.
I genuinely don't understand how someone could be scared of snails.
Because...
Rocky and I were so evil, though. We decided one day, we were like, okay, we're gonna go... We got on our roller skates. This was in San Diego. We got, like, a shoebox, like a clear plastic shoebox. And we collected all these snails.
Sure, that was in San Diego? Because I remember that being behind this house.
I think we did it twice. I think we did it once in San Diego and once in here.
Okay, because all I knew is that I was like, you guys, I'm literally disowning you. Like,
so we knew Hadim was deathly afraid of snails. So we get a shoebox.
I was deathly afraid, but I was pretty spooked by them.
Yeah, I don't know why. They're literally so small.
They killed my family. Okay, they killed all of you. In my dream.
Oh my god. Wait, what? You had a dream about snails?
Yeah, I had
snails?
A dream when I was in, like, first grade that the snails bit off the heads of everyone in my family.
Oh my god.
That was traumatizing.
Your imagination. Well, anyways, we went out, we collected all these snails. We collected, like, 15 snails, put them in a shoebox, and then
I
remember,
like, shaking them, putting them in front of me. I was like, get away from me.
I remember so vividly, we ran up the stairs in San Diego, we find Honeymel just chilling in her bed, and then we start shaking the fuck, like, look at this, and then Honeymel just starts screaming. I think we got in a lot of trouble that day,
though. I hope so. You deserve that.
So this is the last question. I think this is from your friend, actually.
Ooh.
Gavin.
Gavin!
Can you go on an unhinged rant about your least favorite Xenoblade character?
Yes!
What is that? What is Xenoblade? What is
that? I needed that. Thank you, Gavin. Okay. Actually, I have the second game right behind your head.
Oh, it's a game. Okay.
Okay. I needed this. I needed to go on a rant. Like, this isn't me if I'm not going on a rant about something really stupid. Okay. So, for all of my non-gamers, Tetsuya Takahashi, 1998, releases his first game, Xenogears. It was a good game. A lot of people really liked it, but development was cut short because they didn't have a lot of resources, they didn't have a lot of budget. So the second half of the game was, like, basically a visual novel. It was a good game, though. A lot of people regarded this to be a masterpiece. Like, it was incredible. People loved this game. And he wanted to create a second game, or, like, it was supposed to be the fifth game in a series of, I think, 7 games or 6 games. But the company he was working for was like, no, absolutely not. So, this guy, he was not ready to give up. He created his own company, now known as Monolith Soft, and he decided to make another series of games, which was supposed to be, like, he calls it a spiritual successor, and so it has a lot of the same themes, a lot of the same plot points as Xenogears, and it's called Xenosaga. And it was supposed to be 6 games, but after the first game, it was cut down to 3 games, so it ended up being a trilogy. The third game really wrapped up all of the plot points that he wanted to put in within the 6 games, so that was a good thing. The first game was not as popular as Xenogears. The second game was even less popular, and the third game was also less popular, which was really sad, because the third game was actually the best game in the trilogy. And I would definitely say that it was a good series, but its plot was kind of complicated, and a lot of people, it just didn't have good publicity, had a lot of bad reviews that it did not deserve. So needless to say, this guy was kind of sad that, like, he had this vision, he had this dream, and he made these games, and they didn't live up to the expectations he had, especially since he kind of took a backseat starting with the second game. But he had a new vision, because this guy's not done, okay? So he comes up with the idea for a new game, and this game is Xenoblade 1, which is the start of the Xenoblade series, which, if you've noticed, all the titles in this series all have the Xeno prefix in front of it. They're not all technically connected. The only games that are actually, like, directly, like, canonically confirmed connected are Xenoblades 1 and 2, which makes sense by the names. The Xeno in front is kind of supposed to be his way of just, like, marking this game as his work, like, his ideas. And they all have the same, like, themes, plot points, but they're not all, like, part of the same, like, series. They're not all canonically connected. Anyways, Xenoblade 1, that's the first Xenoblade game that I ever played. And this is the Xenoblade game where my least favorite Xenoblade character of all time exists. And her name is Sharla, okay? I hate this woman. I hate this woman so much. She is terrible, okay? They introduced, and this is a good game, by the way. Xenoblade 1 is probably my favorite game of all time currently. I'm playing Xenoblade 2, it's really good. I don't know if it's gonna be better than 1. Xenoblade 1, currently my favorite game of all time. And all of the characters in that game are very well written, okay? And then we get Sharla, okay? They introduce her as, like, this sniper medic person, and...
Sniper medic?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. They introduce her, she's a sniper, she fights with a gun, and she's also a healer, she's a medic, okay? There's no substance to her character at all. Like, they introduce her, she's a plot device, basically, that's it. They introduce her to bring attention to Colony 6, which is the other colony in Xenoblade, because there's only 2 colonies left. And Colony 6 gets destroyed, and she, like, comes out, and she's like, man, my colony's been destroyed, my fiancé was there, and now my fiancé's dead. Man, I'm so sad. And literally, she only gets introduced so that the main party can go and help out Colony 6. That's it. And then for the rest of the game, she's, like, useless plot point-wise until, like, a certain point where they try and bring back, like, her dead fiancé, and it was just, like, it was really bad. It was really bad. Like, she had no substance to his character at all, and they tried to ship her with one of the other characters, and, like, the basis of the ship was literally her just being like, wow, you said something, and that sounds exactly what my dead fiancé would have said. And it was just horrible. And they were ruining the other character. He was great. But yeah, TLDR, Sharla, awful. One of the worst written characters I've ever seen in my life. And I've read some bad writing. She's like one of the worst characters I've ever seen in my life. It was awful. The rest of the game though, all of the other characters though, 10 out of 10.
Well, thank you for that rant. I think this is a good spot to end this episode. Thank you so much for being here today on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I hope you guys enjoyed listening to today's podcast episode. I'm going to have Halima's Instagram linked in the description box. I think she's private, but if you guys want to go give her a little follow, maybe she'll accept your follow. Make sure, as always, to rate and review this podcast. I really appreciate any feedback that you guys give. It definitely helps out a lot. You guys can also connect with the community over on the podcast Instagram at Disclaimers Aside. The link to that will be in the description box as well if you want to go follow that. Participate in the polls and the weekly questions and just go there for some extra exclusive content. Besides that, I will see you guys in my next episode. Have a good weekend and goodbye.